I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and today I am joined by Mr. Jazz Keegan. What's up, Jazz?
Oh, pretty good, Zach. Really recovered from our mutual disappointment in the Rockets, but other than that, pretty good.
Yes. Even though Jazz is from the land down under, he does appreciate the National Basketball Association, we didn't time it this way. As you guys as listeners know, I have these random gaps because, you know, real life happens. And Jazz, you were always going to come on Delete. We're talking about Delete today, episode 11 of Smallville's third season. So we'll get to that in just a minute. But but it just so happens that we're recording this just a few days after the Rockets, the Houston Rockets, the National Basketball Association team in Houston, Texas, where I'm from. We're in the Western Conference Finals, which means had they won their last game, well, had they won the game on Monday and had they won the game on Saturday, they could have gone to the NBA Finals, the NBA Championship, right? The big one. They haven't been there since 1995 when they won it all, back-to-back from 1994. That's how you do it. Because if you don't win it twice in a row, it doesn't count. That's the way
it's not a dynasty.
Yeah. Take that, Spurs. Come on, man.
And Warriors haven't won two in a row yet. Get out of here.
They might. So what do you think? The Warriors beat the Rockets. It was very disappointing. They missed 27 3-pointers in a row. It was absolutely embarrassing. It was a very tough game to watch on Monday. What time was the game? Like, it was like 8 o'clock my time, 8 o'clock p.m. my time. What time was the game in Australia, Jazz?
I think it started around 11 a.m. in Australia.
So, yeah. Goodness gracious.
Wasn't able to go to sleep straight after watching that game. Just had to talk to a couple of people about it, and yeah, wasn't a good time.
Were you surprised that Chris Paul got hurt?
I was surprised that he didn't play, to be honest. Like, I thought that just because the magnitude of the game, I thought that even if he had a bum leg, I thought he'd try and get out there, but obviously it was just too much for him.
If Kobe had a bum leg, he would have played, right? You know what I'm saying? Kobe.
I can't put it on. I can't put it on Chris Paul. If he wanted to be out there, he would have been. You saw it on the sidelines.
Oh, it was bad. Yeah, I mean, he is injury prone. That's what people were concerned about when we got him. But hey, we would not have gotten to where we were. We would not have gotten to Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals without Chris Paul. So you gotta take the good with the bad. It's like, that's what I say about Harden, right? You live by the three, you die by the three, and good Lord, the Rockets died by the three on Monday because they missed 27 in a row. How does that happen?
We didn't just die; we got buried by the three.
Oh my goodness! And you know, it was in the sad, sick, depressing thing of it all is it was actually a pretty close game, right? Like if a couple of those threes had fell, if Harden hadn't gotten that, if he had gotten his 4-point play and not been called for the foul beforehand, I mean, who knows? The officiating, and I've seen people on the internet say, like, you know, games like that and series like this are exactly why people think the NBA is rigged, right?
Yeah, it didn't. I don't like saying it, but I don't know. There was a few fishy ones in there. And the worst part is, like, it was almost the exact same game as Game 6. Like, we were up by 10 in the half, and we just couldn't get through.
Well, you know, I'm first and foremost a Houston Astros fan. Baseball is my sport. So, hey, Astros won it all this year. Rockets, I thought, man, that'd be awesome. The Astros and the Rockets win it all in the same year. But hey, championships are hard to get. They're hard to get.
I think people will.
Yeah, who would have thought, right? I think people might appreciate the Astros championship even more now to see how tough it's been for the Rockets to break through, because they always run into the Warriors or the Spurs or somebody, you know, trying. Because it was, let's see, it was, this is 2018. I believe it was, 2015? The Rockets were in the Western Conference Finals last time, Jazz?
Yeah, it was back when we still had Dwight.
Oh, yeah. And they lost in 5 games. So we took it all the way to Game 7. So progress, right?
Yeah, it's like we're the only team that's taken the Durant-led Warriors to a Game 7. So there's a little bit of pride to be taken in that, I suppose.
So two, and we'll get to Smallville in just a second, guys. We're almost done. But hey, you know, we got to talk some NBA basketball. This is breaking news. So, first of all, who do you got in the finals? LeBron James or the Cavs? I mean, LeBron James or the Warriors.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's the Cleveland LeBrons basically, but yeah. I can't see it going any more than five, and the Warriors taking it all.
Mm-hmm. So they'll finally get their back to back. Fair enough. Fourth year in a row, though. Honestly, and I enjoy basketball, especially playoff basketball. Right? I don't even know if I'm that. I'm just not interested. It's like the fourth year in a row. Like, come on, right?
Yeah, I think unless it's a really close game one, or even if Cleveland takes game one, I probably will check out of basketball, to be honest. Like, I'm ready to just like take some time off.
If it gets down to like, if there's a game six and seven, I might watch those. Right?
Oh yeah, you got it.
But it's like 4 years in a row of this, and okay, so there you go, Warriors, Cavs, fourth year in a row. Let's see, it's not just four times, but four in a row. Ugh. Final question for you. Does LeBron come to the Rockets after this season?
Ooh, if they get swept, he's got to move somewhere, I reckon. Yeah. Why not Houston? Right. And you know, he like the Cuban Chris Waller buddies, so.
Dream team. You never know. Dream team. Would you like that, though?
Well, if you have a chance to get the best player in the world, I really don't see why you wouldn't. And like, I like watching LeBron, so I would take it every day of the week.
Cool. I cannot wait for the next ESPN special, The Next Decision.
Yeah. Oh, man. No. Like, if he did come to the Rockets,
Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
No, we take that series in four games, I reckon, if we have LeBron and CP3. We almost beat him in six with CP3, so I can't see how they'd beat us with LeBron.
Yeah, it's tough because I feel like they've done all they can, you know, at this point. Like, you got Harden, you got CP3. It's like, okay, fine. Let's just use the game genie that is LeBron James and get some championships up in here. Right?
So. Yeah, you got to get the cheat code.
But anyway, hey, the Rockets, they're always, and that's what I love about the Rockets, they're always relevant, right? I mean, they're always making big splashes. They're getting, like, I think we might have talked about this last year. I think, yeah, this is what last year, last time you're on the show, I think it was last year. But,
yeah,
you know, you go out there, you get the Yao Mings, you get the Tracy McGrady's, you get the James Hardens, you get the Dwight Howards, you get the CP3s. This would just be another, if they got LeBron James, that would just be another in the long, they got Scotty, at the time, I know it was a big deal. I know it sounds stupid now, but they got Scotty Pippen and Charles Barkley. So this is what the Rockets do. So I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but if it does, I'll be excited because who wouldn't? And I wouldn't be surprised. So,
yeah, that's one thing you can say about Houston. They never like stand pat. They always try to keep improving no matter what. So, like, you got to commend them for that.
So, if they did win the championship, would that force you to bring back your Houston Rockets podcast, or is that on the shelf for good, Jazz?
You know, I do like podcasting, so if I can get a couple of people together, then I definitely come back for it. Like, if we got LeBron, that might even be enough.
All right, you're gonna have a Jordan style comeback, but hopefully the Bulls Jordan comeback, not the Wizards Jordan comeback.
Oh right? Yeah, nah, I'm not gonna come back with the Bulls Jordan mustache,
number 45.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's I love 90s NBA is my thing. You know, like that's what I'm like. My NBA fandom is like stuck in the 90s. That's why you hear me talking about Charles Barkley and Scottie Pippen. But anyway.
Hey, that was the prime years for Houston.
Absolutely, man. Back to back. So those were the last championships that the city won up until the Astros won this past year. And with all due respect to the Dynamo and the Arrows and the Comets, okay, we're talking like the big three sports here, people. So anyway.
Yeah, I don't think the Texans are going to win anytime soon. So.
Oh, never. The Texans will never win the Super Bowl. You heard it here first, guys. Mark my words on
breaking news.
We are recording this on Thursday, May 31st. Thursday, May 31st, 2018. Mark my words, the Texans will never win the Super Bowl. But we're not here to talk about sports. We're here to talk about Smallville. So,
yeah, let's get back into this more important stuff.
So Smallville, delete, right? This is an episode. There's so much to say about this episode. But we'll start with creator Al Goff. In Smallville, The Official Companion, Season 3, by Paul Simpson, available wherever books are sold. Delete was based around an out-there idea. Ultimately, it's a really fun episode, just the idea that you can be gotten at through PDAs. It's similar to the movie Telephone, and also plays on the idea which I think all good horror films do, that bad things happen to people at their weakest moments. The whole episode is Chloe's penance for working with Lionel on Clark, and then you learn it doesn't have anything to do with Lionel at all, although Chloe still felt that kind of guilt. So he pretty much called it out right there. a movie plot is an episode. I've never seen this telephone, but I feel like I need to count it because the creator of the show basically called out that this was a plot of a movie.
I've never heard of this movie before. You just said it just then.
Well, there's another movie called like One Missed Call about cell phones that kill you, but I don't know. Like what do you think I should do, Jazz? I mean, because when I'm on the fence, I ask my guests. I haven't seen this movie, but I have the creator of the show telling me this episode is just like a movie. Therefore,
yeah,
I feel obligated
just told you.
I mean, who would know better than Al Goff? So, plus one for movie plot as an episode right off the top before you even get into the episode, huh?
You didn't need any help putting stuff on the tally board for this one, I reckon, but yeah. Put it on there anyway.
Yeah, it's already a full tally board, but what are you going to do, right? So, so thanks, Al. But this episode, a lot going on, right? We have, obviously, we have the main plot of Chloe, who, of course, throughout the episode, you kind of assume Lionel's involved because he's already exerted his revenge on her at the end of last episode, and that's carry over into this one. Obviously, he got her fired from the Daily Planet the last episode. Her dad got fired from Luther Corp via Lex, but it's all very complicated. So that's going on. We have more of Adam Knight, which I'm excited to talk about. He is at his possibly his most Batman yet. Now, are you familiar with this theory about Adam Knight being Batman?
When I was watching the show, I never really put it together, but just listening to you talk about it in the last couple episodes, I did look at it a little closer, and I suppose I could see it a little bit, but you're definitely right about this one being like the closest to a Batman kind of character that I've seen so far. And to be honest, like in the episodes before this one, I didn't really even put it together, but obviously you have the connections of like Adam West, Dark Knight, but I don't know. I never really saw him as a character that could even evolve into a Bruce Wayne. But I guess they did make him extra brooding and give him an extra few set of skills in this episode. So
right, there are some specific scenes and moments, and we'll get into it here. But it's like, oh, I can totally see how sitting back watching these episodes in 2004, people are like, oh man, it's Bruce Wayne. But anyway, so is that going? And then we have here we go. Here's the big one, guys. As many listeners of the show have noted, I'm a big fan of the Clois theory, right? Chlois, meaning that Chloe Sullivan would become Lois Lane in the show. And at mid-season 3 here, this is the height of that theory, because we have Chloe Sullivan using Lois Lane as a pseudonym at the Daily Planet, right? So people's minds just exploded at this. This is the first time we hear, you know, Lois Lane, right? The words on the screen, said in the show. We've heard about Chloe's cousin before, but there was no context for it. Like, we didn't know if she was older, younger. She was in college, I think, or something. So she was older, which tracks with Lois. But you didn't know. But this is when we get confirmation. Chloe Sullivan has a cousin named Lois Lane. She's not interested in journalism, so Chloe's going to use her name. Mm. And I didn't even realize that before, but like, we have we have Chloe as Lois and Adam as Bruce Wayne in this episode. There's so much like characters who aren't who they are, kind of stuff, talk, buzz going around this episode.
There's one more.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, we'll get into that later, I suppose. But
I think I maybe might know, but I'm not sure. Oh, wait. I think I know.
I'm thinking of a very obvious one.
Okay, I think I know. But we'll wait for that. But anyway, just on the surface, right? What would you have thought if part of the twist of Smallville was, hey, Chloe was Lois? What would you have thought about
as
that?
As in using just her using Lois as like a pseudonym for like writing for the planet,
right?
I would have been fine with that, because like you already have the character established as the journalistic type. Like if you weren't planning to introduce another character and you wanted Alice and Mac to continue on the show just as that character, then I guess I'd be fine with that. But I also didn't mind the way they went just as the show went on introducing an actual Lois Lane. So I think they both added pretty like a lot to the show in terms of Allison Mack being Chloe and then Erica Durance coming in as right. Lois Lane. So I think they did all right the way it was ended up being.
Now, a lot of people get mad when I bring this up, but I'm not being disrespectful to Erica Durance's Lois Lane. You got to remember, this is pre her being like a thing, right? You're watching the show for 2.5 years or 3 years, even. You see that Chloe is this proto Lois Lane, right? And what do prequels do? Prequels are all about this kind of twist. Look at The Dark Knight Rises, right? John Blake. Oh, you should use your real name, Robin. Oh, twist, right? Like stuff like that. Like this is what prequels do. And it would have, like, all the reasons why people over the years said Chloe can't be Lois Lane. Lois didn't know Clark in high school. Lois never lived in Smallville. Lois didn't know Clark's secret before he was Superman. Right? All these things. Right? Lois stayed on the show long enough to do all those things they said.
Yeah.
You know, as the reason why Chloe can be Lois. So that's kind of the irony. And yes, I liked Lois on the show. Right? But my main hang up though was because Chloe was the Lois of the show for so long, they paused Lois's character development. Like Lois, the real Lois Lane, right? Couldn't really be the real Lois Lane, or she looked like she was copying Chloe. So for about, let's see, 4, 5, 6, 7, for about 4 years on this show, she was like kind of not really Lois Lane, and they couldn't like do, they didn't want to have like two of them, right?
Yeah.
So then finally in season 8, they let her be Lois Lane. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that because, yeah, as you said, they didn't really even use her as a Lois Lane type of character until very late in the show anyway. So it's kind of defeats the purpose of having both of them on there.
Right. And then looking back at the show, I almost prefer like she had made some random guest appearances as like a journalist at the Daily Planet, and then like kind of when Clark got a job there, that's when she became a main character. I mean, just in retrospect, right? I mean, I enjoyed Lois and Erica Durance on the show. What I'm saying is I feel like too often, like, she was just the brunt of jokes and comic relief and all this stuff. Like, and she was just an extra character. And her only purpose was to be like, hey, look, her and Clark don't get along, but they'll be in love in the future. Isn't that fun? And, like, that joke got old after. I mean, it got old after 4 years.
More of just, like, a tease of what might come than rather just, like, actually using them as the character that they are.
Right. And, you know, in early Smallville, like season 4, they think, okay, well, we're wrapping it up here, right? Like, we're probably season 5 will be our last one. We can introduce Lois a little bit. Because if you remember, Lois was only supposed to be in like 2 episodes. Then it was like 4. Then it was like half the season. And then they still let her stay on half the season. Anyway, that is not even what we're talking about here. But I just want to contextualize, like, yes, I was a huge supporter of the Lois theory at the time. I thought it would have been a great twist. You know, and then it would have been like all of these characters like Lex, Clark, Lana, and Chloe were there from the beginning, and they would be the iconic Superman characters, and then you move on to the future. Because, I mean, Clark met everyone else, you know, before he was Superman. Like, I feel like a lot of the weight behind the Chloe cannot be Lois arguments, as I said, they kind of just kept getting crossed off the list as the show continued, and Lois Lane ended up being on the show for 7 out of the 10 years.
Yeah. Right?
So anyway, that's all I have to say about that. I'm sure it'll be an ongoing discussion as the podcast continues, but this was like kind of the lightning rod for a lot of that discussion, because you literally have Chloe using or attempting to use Lois Lane as a pseudonym on the show.
Yeah, for now she is Lois, basically.
I will. One last thing I'll say about that. In light of current events, I guess I am glad they didn't go with that twist, if you know what I'm saying, right, Jazz?
Not the greatest look for Allison Mack with all this stuff going on around her. And yeah, to associate that with the Lois Lane character is not probably something they don't want to have happen.
Right. Well, I wish I could delete that from my memory, am I right?
Wow, that was terrible.
That's what I call a segue.
Oh man, that was the worst. I gotta admit. I'm sorry. That's worse. That's worse than the Game 7 loss.
Just before this, did you get any weird emails?
Let me check. I did, but I don't remember opening it.
It sounds like the same thing happened to both of us. It's like we were being hypnotized.
It could be a subliminal message.
Something could have been hidden in the binary codes.
How'd I get snapped out of it?
Right now, I'm a little bit more concerned with what triggered the kill Chloe impulse in the first place.
It's brainwave again.
Every computer online has an IP address, so we should be able to track the message with the computer that it was sent from.
You can do that.
We'll see.
If this brainwave person wanted me dead so badly, why didn't they just send me a message saying to off myself?
The brain's hardwired to stay alive. I mean, not even hypnotic messages can override our survival instincts.
Did you just pick that up somewhere?
I was in physical rehab for months. What else is there to do but read?
Chloe, the message came from your computer.
I thought Lionel took back all of your computers. Why would anyone at Luther Corp want to attack you?
Delete is the 11th episode of Smallville's third season. It aired on January 28th, 2004. It was written by Kelly Saunders and Brian Peterson and directed by Pat Williams. So this episode starts out, Chloe is cleaning out her desk at the Daily Planet. We get one of those what will become very familiar establishing shots of Metropolis where we go into the Daily Planet, that helicopter flies by, really cool zoom in. This is a floor of the Daily Planet that we never see again on the show, do we, Jess?
Yeah, I just assumed that this is a very proto Daily Planet, because later in the seasons it looks nothing like this. This is just like this a regular, like, office building.
Generic office building, exactly.
Like it's very more. It's like a lot more designed in like in the later seasons. This just seems like just like a regular building.
Well, I'll give them this though, right? That this is like higher up. And then when we see when Clark and Chloe and Lois all get jobs there later, they're in the bullpen down there. So I'm like, okay, I guess it looks different. That's fine. I'll give you that. But yes, it was funny to see that difference of, because I'm sure they at the time they didn't think like the Daily Planet was going to become, you know, a set on the show in the future. So we get Chloe. She's, you know, looking at her name tag because, you know, she's never going to use his name again, right? Because she's going to become Lois Lane, right? So she has that last look at her name. No, I'm just kidding. I'll let that go.
Yeah. Replacing the name on there to Lois right away.
Yes, this is what the fans at the time, and myself included, like held on to. But anyway, she's packing up her desk. She's obviously, this is a repercussions of Lionel canceling her column for not investigating Clark anymore. She's walking out the door and she gets stopped by editor Max Taylor, who is a reference to George Taylor, the editor of the Daily Star in the golden age of the comic books, before there was a Daily Planet and before there was a Perry White. So very, very inside baseball.
Wow, that went straight over my head.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless you're like really know like in-depth Superman trivia, you'd never know that. But I appreciate the reference. So he calls her in his office and he's like, man, I don't know who made mad. And she's like, well, I have enemies in high places. And basically, you know, him saying goodbye, he says he's gonna miss her, and she says like, hey, you know, I have some stories I'd love for you to take a look at. And first of all, they're on this floppy disk, right, which dates the show.
Oh yeah, clear floppy disk. I think I have like one of those left at home somewhere with like an old PC game.
Yeah, those were so early 2000s, because it wasn't just like it was people had a collection, right? They're like iMac, right? It's like all the different colors.
Yeah, like a sliding like drawer thing that held them all.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's kids out there, the floppy disk is the save icon on your computer, just so you know, because I doubt people under the age of 25 probably don't even know what a floppy disk is. But
do people under the age of 20 know what Smallville is?
Oh man, deep key cut, Jazz. Ouch. Well, they do now.
Yeah, bring it up back.
So he says, well, you know, with your name and all this, and this is where the whole pseudonym thing comes up. She's like, how about a pseudonym? And she writes this name on the sticky note and on the disc and hands it to him. And he says, Lois Lane?
What?
And she says, and you know, I feel like if that was the way where they're going to, like, that would be... Like, if they were playing the long game with this and she was going to be Lois, that would be, like, the last scene of the show, right? Or something like that, right? Or one of the last scenes of the show, right?
When they're all trying to wrap it up.
Yeah, they're wrapping it up, right? Assuming a Lois never existed on the show, right? It's like she goes into Perry White's office, right? Michael McKean, and Lex has gotten her fired from the Daily Planet or something, because he's bought the Daily Planet and fired her or something, right? And they're having the same conversation. And he's like, ah, sorry, Clay, I'll let you go. She's like, well, how about a pseudonym? He's like, well, what do you have in mind? Lois Lane. And it was like, da, 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 da. And then we, you know, cut outside or something. That was my vision, right? If they were going to do that.
Get the prequel show called Lois.
Yeah. Exactly. That's really all that comes of the Lois Lane pseudonym after me talking about it for about half an hour now.
You got feelings about it, Zach?
I have strong. That's why I have a podcast, okay? Because I have these thoughts I want to share. So thank you for hearing me out, guys. But that's pretty much it. There are some stories on there, and we know that Max Taylor is going to look into them. So that sets up some more plot elements in this episode. So we cut to our next scene. It's Lex down in the basement or the IT department of Luther Corp. Did you notice the Battlefield Earth poster on the wall?
Oh, yeah, I did see a couple of posters, but I wasn't able to like catch what the references were.
It, Battlefield Earth, notoriously one of the worst films ever made, based off the book by L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology. So that's exactly the kind of poster you would find in an IT department. So good job, prop department. But he goes down there to find a tech guy because he's having some problems with his computer. But he doesn't find a tech guy. He finds Felicity Smoke instead, right?
He just finds another tech person.
This actress, Missy Peregrim, I'm contractually obligated to mention Heroes in every episode of Always on the Smallville. So she was in the first season of Heroes as Candace. She was the shapeshifter who projected images and stuff. So she, you know, that's a power that Siler would get in the alternate future to make people think it was Nathan, et cetera, et cetera. Spoilers. But once again, another Heroes reference I can make on the show. But
I recognize this person, but I was not able to place it for the life of me.
Did you watch Heroes?
Yeah, I was sure. Now I can remember it vividly now that you've said it.
There it is, man. There it is. Because when I first saw her on Heroes, I was like, oh, that's the girl from Smallville, the tech girl. So obviously, she's not what he expected. She's like, would you prefer a nerd who plays PlayStation in a Star Wars shirt? I'm like, okay, it's a little close to home. Thank you very much. But yeah. Anyway, but she says, oh, I can help you with a problem. She gives him a disc and he goes on his way. And then we see that she maybe isn't supposed to be there after all, because she's taking out a hard drive from a computer, and it's this property of Smallville High School, and it's like Chloe Sullivan's computer, and you're like, well, what is this? And I was confused at first. I thought, oh, is this from, like, remember a couple of episodes ago, like a private eye like stole a computer, but then like he ended up dead, and we thought Lionel had killed him or something, and I was like, is this computer? I was kind of confused, right?
Yeah, I was very confused at the start of this episode as well.
Okay, good. I'm glad I wasn't the only one. Yeah. Did I miss something? Because I've been watching every episode. By the way, these scenes, this teaser is going on quite a long time. Because we're going to our third scene now. It's Chloe at Smallville High School. And this is Pete. Pete gets his one scene, right? And they mention that Pete were all the computers. I'm like, okay, it was a weird, like, I feel like maybe we should have gone to the Lex scene after we discovered the computers were gone. I don't know. Pete's like, oh, hey, all the computers are gone. Some delivery guys came by and a girl was here too. Thanks, Pete. Like,
yeah.
And that's
didn't
it.
Get any information about it. Thank you.
Did they leave a number and whatever? And then Pete, he's gone the rest of the episode. It's just like, yeah, Sam Jones got his one scene. He's gone.
I was gonna say at this point they're just using him as a token. Like this is insulting.
Yeah, I mean he could have. We have a lot of Smallville High School action literally in this episode. He could have been a part of that, or you know, maybe been hypnotized himself at some point. But that never happened. So okay. But that's pretty much the exposition of that scene.
Yeah, he's just literally the vehicle to get from one scene to another.
So then we get a fourth scene, and I don't know about you, but I'm like, man, how long is this teaser going to go, right?
Yeah, it was just like, this is a really long one, just like a super long cold open for this.
Well, and it's one thing like an asylum, right, with the scene Alex in the asylum. Literally, huh. Those are like two scenes, but they're both like really long scenes in and of themselves. But here we have four different scenes. We have four different setups. You know, we have Chloe at the Daily Planet, we have Lex at the IT department, we have Chloe at the Torch, and then we have Chloe outside of Smallville High School.
This is such a pivotal episode that you need all this information to really get into it.
It takes a long time to wind up, right?
Yes.
So in our fourth scene, Chloe's walking, you know, outside the school, presumably to her car, and we see this red pickup truck kind of come after her, right? And we don't know who's behind the wheel, but I think the red truck gives it away, doesn't it, Jazz?
Yeah, I was just like, as soon as I saw that red truck, I was like, oh, okay, I haven't seen this episode in a while, but I can see where this is going.
I'm not gonna lie, I forgot there was another Kent truck accident.
Oh, how could you? It's every episode.
And Sheriff Adams even makes a comment about it later. It's great. She says, your family sure has its way of going through vehicles. So Sheriff Adams, once again, the voice of the audience, right? But yeah. Yes, it's Clark in the red truck. He crashes it into, well, Chloe like dives under this Smallville High School van.
I wasn't sure if she was diving or if she just tripped, but I'm just like, she was so lucky. Like, she should have died then.
Yes, definitely. And she just got, like, maybe, like, a sprained wrist or something and maybe a cut forehead. Or, no, the forehead came later. I don't know. For all the attempts on her life in this episode, she comes up pretty unscathed. She's had it a lot worse in other episodes. But, yes, we have a plus one for a Kent truck accident, because who is in this red truck? None other than Clark Kent. He gets out of the truck and he's like, Chloe? And then we get somebody save me. Like, that's your hook, right? Finally, after about 6 minutes plus. It just, I don't know. Like, that's not, again, you can have a long teaser, but when you just go from scene to scene to scene, you start thinking to yourself, is this ever going to, can we cut to the credits, please?
It's like, they're just not going to do a credits this episode. We just did it.
It's a very special episode of Smallville. So we go to the credits, finally, and we come back. We have, what do we have, Jazz? We have a hospital visit plus one, right? Because Chloe's in the hospital, getting patched up.
Italia Boy is going to get a beating this episode.
Yeah, keep your pencils ready, guys. So Chloe's getting patched up, and Clark is, they're giving Clark a breathalyzer, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, he can't drink. What are you talking about? This doesn't affect him. How ironic.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess they're like, they don't know what else to do. Like, this guy just ran off the road into this other car. And Chloe, you know, Chloe plays it off because Clark can't remember, right? So we have plus one for amnesia. And we also have, you know what, we're just going to go ahead and spoilers. We have plus one for mind control.
Oh, yeah.
Because Clark was under mind control. That doesn't get revealed until later. Plus one. Yeah. Well, plus one for mind control, plus one for amnesia. And that's the way it's going to be throughout this whole episode, because people who get mind controlled get amnesia. So there you go. So again, sharpen those pencils. Oh, sharpening pencils. That comes out later too. That's why I was on my mind. Anyway, Chloe tries to kind of cover for Clark, because Sheriff Adams is like, well, Miss Sullivan, what do you think happened? And she's like, well, it looks like he just lost control of the truck, because Clark's like, I don't remember. I was at the library writing my paper and I woke up in the truck. So anyway, that's where we leave things. But as Clark is leaving the hospital, he gets to meet Adam Knight and Lana. And it's really awkward, because Adam kind of like has his arm like around her a little bit. And it's just a weird moment.
I was still unclear on this episode as to like what their relationship was until like about three quarters of the way through the episode. I didn't know if they were a couple or if they were just like hanging around each other, because like she takes him to the hospital, to the school, they're just like hanging around each other all the time. I was like, what is this relationship?
Well, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that was most of my relationship with girls from in high school. Yeah, yeah. What is this relationship? But you're right, though. I honestly, this whole season, I think you could still ask yourself that question, because even this episode, you're like, what are they? Like, is he going to kiss her? She doesn't want to, but she's offering him a place to live and doesn't want him to move. It's like, what? Define the relationship.
Yeah, just give me something. I didn't know where to go with this.
Well, and then of course, I really liked Clark's line here, right? Because I mean, they're interacting, and obviously Clark and Adam are kind of sizing each other up, right? And Adam's like, "Hey, Clark, I heard a lot about you," and Clark's like, "I didn't know there was that much to tell." And Adam's like, "I figured I would have met you when you came by therapy to visit Lana, but I guess you're really busy." And Clark says, "Looks like we've all been busy." I was like, "Good for you, Clark. That's a good cut right there, right?"
Sick burn for Clark.
But then she gets Lana gets a text message or something, and she pulls up her phone and she makes a point to say, oh, ever since Lex got me this phone, no one at the Talon knows how to run the coffee machine. Just to establish, I liked the attempt to at least establish why Lana has this like sophisticated phone now, right?
Yeah, well, it's the perks of having a Luther be your boss, I suppose.
But then she's like responding to this email or text, and like Adam and Clark are just kind of looking at each other, and she's looking at both of them, and it's really awkward.
Awkward,
and we just cut away. We just cut out of there. We don't know how that resolved.
I guess Clark just turned around and said, "Well, see ya."
Oh man! But then we cut back to Luther Corp, and Lex has come back looking for Molly, but he doesn't find Molly. He finds the Toy Man.
Yes. Here we go.
this is the guy you were talking about, right?
Yeah.
So this is Chris Gothier. I don't know how to say his name. He's not the Toy Man here. I'm sure some fan fiction could probably connect some dots and make him the Toy Man, but he appears as the Toy Man in seasons 8, 9, and 10 of Smallville, but he got to start here as a bit character, just the IT guy.
Yeah, and he actually works for Oliver, doesn't he, as the Toy Man?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, yeah, he did. That was his thing, right? Because I don't recall the exact specifics of his origin, but you're right. It was something about he worked for Queen Industries and something
and then
like
didn't,
that.
Then he was working for the Lex when he was in the back of the van, wasn't he? Like that was his whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Him and Darth Lex. Were in cahoots, and then he formed the Legion of Doom on the penultimate episode of Smallville, and it went nowhere.
Yes.
It's like, why did you set this up?
I guess it all just came back around. I guess Lex just kept this connection with this guy all this time.
Yeah. That's what it is, man. That's what it is. Oh, man. In my headcanon now, I'm gonna really think this guy was the toy man the whole time. Mm. But anyway, of course, he's exactly what you would expect an IT guy to look like, right?
Yeah, a nerd in a Star Wars t-shirt, as Molly put it.
There you go. Oh, man. So we've established that there is no one that works there named Molly. So you're like, oh. Something mysterious is afoot. This is one of those episodes where I think back. I'm like, oh yeah, delete. I'm like really excited to talk about it. But when you're watching, you're like, man, this is kind of boring. Like this is really slow to get moving, right?
Yeah, with all the scenes, you think it wouldn't be?
This all these scenes, but nothing is happening.
Yeah.
So as you said, Lana is just kind of like leading Adam around on a leash to all her places. Yeah. Like they're at the Talon. And for the first time, and she wants to make sure that she gets the thumbs up, makes a good cup of coffee or something. And this scene, again, this is exactly what you're talking about, right? It's like them talking about Clark and, like, again, like, are we, like, is it wrong that they're just friends? Or it's just, it's very confusing, like, what their relationship is. And scenes like this just go on throughout the episode and makes it such.
Yeah, it was just kind of just bogged it down. Like, really, didn't really add too much because, as you said, it didn't really develop their relationship. If anything, it just like showed that they were together, but you didn't really understand what the hell was going on. That's another thing. Just like when she says that to Adam, like you think that like is she interested in him, but then when he says he's interested in her, like she kind of backs off. I'm just like, these guys don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, but hey, you know what? They're teenagers, or at least I think she is. His age is
very
undetermined.
I don't know what Adam is.
That's what I was trying to figure out. I was like, is he going to like become a student at the high school? Is that why she brought him there? Is he an adult? Because if he's an adult, she's a minor. That's wrong. But hey, that's what they do next season with Jason. So who knows?
I was
going
to say, maybe that's what Lana's into.
Lex? Oh my gosh, she likes older men, clearly. But you're right. That's a great point, because here she like really wants to make Adam... like assures Adam that, hey, we're just friends, right? Mm. It's like, oh, okay, that way she wants him to know that he's got the okay, right? It's the fly zone, right? But then, you're right, later on he tries to, like, kiss her, and she's like, oh, I don't know. But anyway, we'll get to that. So Chloe comes to visit Clark in the barn, and they have the truck is inside the barn. It's not at the mechanic where it should be. Although Chloe says she talked to the mechanic and said there was nothing wrong with the the brakes or anything. This is not a Chloe's unseen connection. It's just a mechanic. So just for anyone's curious, I didn't count that because that's a logical person to ask about a car, a mechanic. So that's fine. She really thinks that Clark tried to kill her. What did you think about this scene, Jess?
Yeah, I was it's like you've known this person your whole life, basically. And just like you think that just because like the issues that they've had that he's going to jump straight to killing you. I don't really understand that progression. Like you got to think like this is Smallville. Weird things happen. Something's afoot. You got to be a little bit like more inquisitive than that.
Well, they have some back and forth and, you know, Clark does have the line to her. You're not the same person you used to be. And I was like, oh, well, that's topical. If you guys know what I mean. But anyway, it's you can't help but not watch Smallville through that lens now, unfortunately. So certain lines like that really do stick out. But this is a good scene because, you know, she's assuming the worst about him. He assumed the worst about her with her and Lionel, right? And then she kind of turns it around and says, well, you know, remember you were riding a motorcycle in Metropolis acting like a party animal. I didn't judge you, right? So, and that comes back around at the end of the episode and helps them kind of, you know, reconcile their friendship. But anyway, I did find interesting that Clark pulls out his laptop. This is something we've seen a couple of times now, but they don't have the internet at home, I guess, because he's always at the Torch computers, right? It's confusing, right?
Yeah, like I was kind of wondering, like, it's like, how are they accessing his email? Like, I can't believe there's a sophisticated Wi-Fi back then.
Well, yeah, because in Rosetta, him and Pete are using the laptop, and they like bring this cable out, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's like to like make sure the kids don't see him using the internet, because as we were talking about in an Asylum, like talking about the computers, and internet, and stuff. Clark was looking up like the fastest man alive or something in the pilot, so they do have the internet. So it's a plot convenience to have Clark at the torch looking stuff up. Maybe, well, you know what? I guess you had to pay by the minute back then, so maybe. That's why
they didn't get pause dial up back then.
Oh man. Also interesting to note that we see, you know, Clark's email. He's got emails from Pete, Lana, Lex, someone called Megan Poss, who I assume probably works on the show or worked on the show. But then we see Brainwave at instamail.org, right? What a subtle,
yeah, I was
subtle
gonna say,
email.
Such like a, not like a 2000s thing, just making sure you know. It was like, okay, instamail.
Instamail. And Chloe says, who's Brainwave? And then we get this shot of Molly in her apartment. And we hear these like really like Mark Snow is like bringing out the X-Files music, because he got these piano stings like, this is creepy, you know, because it is a rather minimalist, creepy apartment, isn't it?
Yeah, I was like, is she just living, like squatting here? Because like there's another weird shot where you see like a living room or something, but it's like with like all these windows empty around it, and just a couch in the middle of the room. I was like, what is this place? Although I have been catching up on X-Files, so I do know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, like ding ding. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad you've been watching the show. So you'll see more Smallville crossover, the more like guest stars and stuff, because you know Canada, right? They have the same kind of stable of actors up there working in TV, so you'll see a lot of crossover. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, I already have.
So she is behind these emails. We don't know if she's the one masterminding it or if she's working under the direction of someone else, but that connection has been confirmed at this point. But let me come back to Smallville High School, and Lana is still showing Adam around.
Yep, just having a good time walking around Smallville.
So I can assume, but I'm trying to put the pieces together here, right? So this is day two, because day one was, oh my God, Chloe drove home for 3 hours? Like, what time was that? that I think, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, in the teaser, right? Interesting. Anyway, so this is the day after that accident. So Lana and Adam must have been at the Talon before that, and then before school.
The hospital before that.
Well, but that was the night before at the hospital, I guess. But how late is that, right? Because again, it was night in Metropolis. Chloe drove home 3 hours. Pete's hanging out at the school for some reason, like midnight, right?
So they I'm assuming they departed ways like after the hospital, and then they just like met straight away at the Talon, and then she's
the next morning
to the high school.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're getting time, man. I caught this, right? Superman reference, right?
Yeah.
They're walking through the halls. Adam, I did think this was funny. He's like, "What was your mascot again?" Because the crow is just obnoxiously everywhere, right? And he's like,
"Yeah,
oh,
like
it's a bird." I'm like, "Oh, it's a bird." Like, you know, it's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman. So that was kind of a subtle reference. I gave that one like a golf clap, you know, for being a Superman reference, right? But Lana says, like, oh, I forgot my history book or something, right? Can you wait for me outside? He's like, okay. So she goes off to her locker, but then she gets a text or an email or something. Pulls up her phone, and it's from Brainwave. We get the CSI, you know, zoom into your body effect, plus, like, the whole Matrix code, which was big in the early 2000s.
Yeah, this is just
What did you think of this?
Like, for starters, when Molly's trying to, like, go through the contacts, she's doing so much typing, and she's just literally scrolling through contacts on her computer. But, like, that's unnecessary. And then, like, this whole, like, Matrix code in the eyeball thing, I was just like, this is very, very 2000s. And they do it again with the hearing when they go into Clark's ear as well.
Yeah.
I was like, why do they just, like, why is zooming in such a big thing?
Yeah, I agree. We talk about that. I want to get your thoughts on the super hearing, too, later, because we talked about that last episode, and they change the effect and the show goes on and I like it better later. But this is the age where, like, even it blows my mind, right? Because this is 2004, right? You think people would, like, understand technology better, right? And wouldn't think of it as some weird magical thing, because, like, there was a big thing, like, the 80s and the 90s, like, oh, the internet, right? Computers, right? Even like Superman 3, right? It's like, oh, this computer can do whatever I tell it to do. It's like magic. And there was, like, the perfect example is, like, there was a Sandra Bullock movie called The Net. And it was, like, I never saw it, but I saw trailers and stuff for it. And it was basically, like, this woman like afraid that her identity was going to be erased because of the internet or something. It's just the fear of technology, and I don't know. I just find it funny that they think that this was even possible, right?
Yeah, I don't really understand. Like, do they think this whole thing where it's just like you look at the email and then it just rewires your brain? I'm just like, this is such a early 2000s plot to a TV show.
Absolutely, absolutely. But so we have our mind control count plus two now. But then we have what is arguably, you know, some people say Clark versus Titan in season six. Some people say Clark versus Zod in season nine. I say Lana versus Chloe in season three is the best fight of the show. What do you think, Jazz?
Ooh, it's a contender for sure. Put it up there. Don't know if I can knock off the later fights, though.
This fight is mental. It is. This is so insane. Now, I do want to mention that Kristen Kurick has this to say about the fight in The Companion. She says, "That was an interesting script. I wasn't looking forward to doing the action sequence because it started off as two girls in the hallway beating each other up and ended up in the showers in the girls' locker room. But I was promised over and over again that it wouldn't be gratuitous in any way. It wouldn't be two girls having a cat fight, and it wasn't. It was whole days of Allison and me and our stunt doubles fighting all over the school, and I think it turned out really well." Well, I agree. I think this I mean, I know we're laughing about it, but I think it's really effective. What about you?
It's a pretty like knockdown, drag out brawl. Like, it starts off with Chloe's head getting smashed into a locker. I'm like, wow, this is pretty hardcore.
And then they crash into a like break in case of fire or whatever, and there's an axe in there, which I don't think a high school have an axe.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
But she starts pulling out, Alana pulls out this axe and just starts going to town. And it's like, all jokes aside, this is actually a very intense, well done fight.
Yeah, one wrong movement. Like, Chloe was going to be finished.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. And, you know, they even cut like some slow motion in there, like when Chloe punches Lana. And yeah. You got to think, like, there's a lot of pin up tension between these two girls, like, especially from Chloe's side about all the, you know, Clark drama from over the years. So this is probably a good cathartic release on some level for them to actually fight.
Yeah, and Lana gets to use her Lex taught kung fu on Chloe, yes, and a few like spin kicks.
Yeah, that is the Lana Fu is strong in this scene. But no, unfortunately for our friend Matt Truex, who helped me add this category, Lana does not kill anyone because who shows up but Batman to save the day with some kung fu, right?
Oh yeah, another little bit of intrigue to the character, I suppose. I didn't buy it still.
But you know, Lana holds her own versus him, no problem. Like, she grabs his ankle, twists him over in the shower, and all that.
He's still recovering from rehab.
Yeah. So we'll give him that. You know, we'll give him that. He's still recovering.
Give Batman a break.
Give Batman a break, right? So Chloe ends up being the one that kind of kicks Lana's foot out from under her, and then Lana like hits her head against the freaking shower, and I thought, oh my god, like she's gonna start bleeding, like this is a serious problem. No, she just kind of faints for just a second and wakes back up. She's like, oh, Chloe, what's going on? I'm like, that would cause some serious, like, that's a concussion right there, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like the way it was filmed, but it looked like there was some weight behind that. Like I like the way it was it was framed. It was like, yeah, it was just like a thud. I'm just like, wow.
So very visceral, and like I said, like that's a great fight. Like by anyone's calculation, by any show, any TV show, any movie, like that is a good fight. And you know, and I'm sure a lot of the fans of the show at that point, because you know these kinds of shows, you get your Lana shippers and your Chloe shippers, right? They wanted to see that. They wanted to see them go at it, and they got to see it, and it did not disappoint. And that is the highlight of this episode, is this Lana Chloe fight.
Yeah, well, it definitely got me the most interested in the episode, for sure.
But then we have a plus one for amnesia, because Lana, of course, doesn't know what happened, right? So our running tally is two so far on mind control and amnesia. Then we cut back to the Talon, and then the whole Scooby gang is working out the problem, other than Pete, right? He's not invited to these meetings anymore, I guess. But it's Chloe, Lana, Clark, and Adam. And it did make me laugh. Like, Lana's like, I can't believe I did that to you. And Chloe's like, I can't believe you got us both suspended. And I want to say, and I can't believe it's not butter.
And I was just like, I was thinking about the Harry Potter scene where it's just like, that girl's got to get her priorities right.
So I feel like that is an appropriate punishment when you have a knockdown, drag-out fight in the middle of a class. I don't care what the circumstances are. You will be suspended, at least for a couple of days, right?
If not police involved.
Right. I mean, that's intense. But anyway, this is where we get our really, like, Adam Knight is Batman, right, in this scene, right?
Mm.
He's a computer genius, right? He's like, well, a computer genius circa 2004. He's explaining what IP addresses are.
Yeah, he knows how to work a website.
Well, you know, every computer has its own IP address. Clark mentions, like, hey, where'd you pick up those moves? And he's like, yeah. He has a non-answer.
I read it in a book.
Obvious karate skills, right? And then they start talking about if Lana had received an email, she's like, oh, it's from Brainwave, and they're trying to reason out, like, oh, these that must be what it is. These emails are controlling our minds. And Chloe says, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, why wouldn't they just send me an email to kill myself? And then Adam's like, well, the brain's hardwired to stay alive, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, spouting off the psychology, right? And again, yeah. Very Batman.
Yeah, he just knows everything about everything, just adding more intrigue to it.
Mm-hmm. And everyone, and even to Lana's credit, she's starting to pick up, like, there's more to this guy than what there should be. But then we get to cut to Metropolis, and I want to comment on this scene. This is back when they actually used to go to like Vancouver and film outside, and it was very the scope of these scenes was great. Right, you see Clark and Lex like walking down the street. Lex picks up a Daily Planet. You know, a far cry from the studio backlot we get in seasons like 8, 9, and 10.
Great that we finally got
to Metropolis. Yeah, great that we finally got there. But God, if I see that freaking monorail go by one more time, right?
Yeah,
in the background.
So much stuff happens there, though. The Doomsday fight, everything happens around that place.
Yeah, I think Clark proposes to Lois there. Pretty much anything of note that happens between seasons 8 and 10 happens in that little back street. But Clark kind of infers that Lionel is the one that's after it, and Lex is like, why would Lionel want to kill Chloe? And Clark really can't tell him because that would kind of compromise the whole memory thing, and his father killing his grandparents. Oh, it's very complicated. Everything's very complicated with all these characters now, right? But Lex is gonna, you know, look into it, I guess. So we go back to Molly's creepy apartment, and we get a surprise visitor, Dr. Garner, right, from season 2, the Summerhole Institute, the episode Ryan. What'd you think of him showing up? Kind of a surprise villain of the week, right?
Yeah, those are pretty cool. Like, Summerhole was a pretty big thing in the early episodes, so it was it was cool to have kind of like a long running villain.
Mm-hmm. And he was an adult. He was a doctor, you know, white collar crime going on there. So it was like more powerful than Clark could. Clark just couldn't barge in there and, you know, do what he wanted to do. Like, there's a lot of legal red tape with this guy. And he was a good character, and I'm glad they brought him back. And it was actually, you know, if you think back to Ryan, he just kind of disappears about 2/3 of the way in the episode because Lex shows up with all like his legal papers and stuff. And he's like, well, this isn't over. And he leaves, and you're like, yeah, whatever. Like, we'll never see that guy again. Well, surprise, we did. That's season 3's thing, right? It's the great thing about season 3 is it's taking advantage of all the continuity the show has had up to this point and putting it to good use. And it was great to revisit that institute because there was more stories to be told there as we go on to see later on in season 3 as well. So it just establishes that him and Molly have a relationship here, and he kind of implies to her that, you know, what needs to be done next. Because as it turns out, Chloe had written an article about Summerhole Institute and interviewed Dr. Garner, interviewed Molly. You know, that's what she passed on to Max Taylor. And Max Taylor had been following up on it. And you're starting to see now why Chloe might really be in danger and has nothing to do with the Loose Earths, right?
Mm, yeah, like it was just it was nice to see them expanding that not everything is connected to like this one group of people.
As Lex says earlier, contrary to popular opinion, my father's not responsible for every nefarious thing in Smallville, but pretty close, Lex. It's pretty close.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
So we get Adam packing up his things at the hospital. Now, would you count this as a hospital visit? Because he is in the hospital as a patient, right? So what do you think?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, as I said, the Tally Boy is going to get a beating this episode. And I'd probably say you have to count this because they do leave and come back. So
yeah, because they were there for Chloe before, but now they're there in, like, Adam's room or whatever.
Yeah.
So he's packing up, and she's like, "Oh, you're gonna go back to Metropolis?" And I thought, why is this guy from Metropolis going to Smallville for physical therapy? Maybe he has really bad insurance, right?
Yeah,
it's cheaper there.
Because didn't they establish in the last episode that it was quite a while between Metropolis and Smallville?
Well, 3 hours, yes, sir.
Yeah, so it's just like, well, I don't understand. I guess he doesn't have a good insurance, so he just has to go all the way, 3 hours out of his way to get help.
Well, he's been staying. Well, but the thing is, he's been staying there, like living in that room for, you know, who knows how long, right?
Yeah, I didn't think that was a thing either.
Yeah, yeah. Like, can you just stay in this room for like 2 months while you do your physical therapy?
That sounds healthy.
There are other reasons Adam is really here. And I guess all these plot holes kind of disappear when you know that, like, oh, okay, he has an ulterior mission here. Someone else is putting orchestrating this whole plan. So I guess Lionel is really behind every nefarious thing in Smallville. But anyway, this is a interesting scene here because Lana is like pretty savvy here. She mentions the karate, the computer, and she's like, and if you were rendered all by reading, where are the books? You know, like, these are actually legitimate points. Like, she's finally, like, getting up to speed with this absurdity that goes on around her, huh?
Yeah, she's definitely picking up on things now. She's not just, like, taking things as they come. She's actually wants to know more, which is good character growth, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I do like Adam's reaction. He's like, wow. Like, if I were a normal person and someone tried that on me, I'd probably react the same way. I did, because I'm thinking Batman terms now, right? And he's like, look, I like you. But basically tells her to get out, right? Mm. I thought back to Batman 89 when Michael Keaton's talking to Kim Basinger. He's like, I like you. I really like you. You're a nice girl. I like you a lot. But right now, shut up. Even his eyebrows, right? That's the thing. Like, Michael Keaton's eyebrows look like Batman, like the arch of the mask and stuff, right?
Mm.
So do Ian Somerhalder. He has very intense eyebrows, doesn't he?
That's true. Like, I could, if you squint your eyes, I guess I could see him as a Batman type character. Go.
As a young Batman, as a maybe a teenager, maybe in his early 20s, maybe we're not going to establish how old he is so it's not creepy.
But not quite a Gotham young Batman.
Yeah. No. Goodness, no. She basically tells her to, you know what? Get out. Don't worry about it. So she walks off, but she's kind of sad. And we're like, okay, there's more to be told here, we know. But anyway, we go to Chloe and Clark doing more, you know, discussion at the torch, and Clark pulls out this security photo from Luther Corp, and it's this ridiculous, like, perfectly framed and focused security photo of Molly, right, at the IT department.
Yeah, I feel like as a someone supposed to be a tech wizard, she could have erased that.
Yeah, exactly. Good point, Jazz. I didn't even think about that. That is an excellent point. Chloe reveals that she had done an interview with her about Somerhalder, and she had been because Molly had been a patient at Somerhalder. She had been a whiz kid. MIT recruited her when she was like 15, but she had a breakdown, and she went to go get treated at Somerhalder because she was a genius. And clearly, Dr. Garner has used her, skills for his own ends, right?
Mm.
Speaking of, she decides to call Max Taylor and warn him because Clark's like, Chloe, wait, who else knows about that article, right? Because obviously that's what's going on. She's being targeted because of that article. And she calls Max at the perfect time because he's saying, oh, hey, Chloe, yeah, this article, this is great. There's a lot of good stuff here. Meanwhile, his coworker comes up to him. Pencil sharpener, right? There's like a pencil sharpener on his desk with about 50 pencils or whatever.
Yeah, this is pretty gruesome.
Picks up the pencil, stabs his brain through his ear with a pencil. That, we're talking about X-Files. That is some X-Files stuff. Am I right, Jazz?
Yeah, this is really rough. All this, like, because the angle is just like, he's just like lording over him with the pencil and then bang, right in the ear. I was just like, nah, this is a bit much.
That is intense. This is, I mean, one of those images that like sticks with you from the show. And then of course his coworker's like, because she had been hypnotized. So we got
Max! Max!
We got a plus one for mind control and amnesia yet again. So we're three so far on the going counter. So he's dead. So sorry, George Max Taylor, editor of the Daily Star. At least we got a new job opening for Carrie Fisher when she comes to town, right?
Yeah. It was like, I just can't get past like the amount of force, even with a sharp pencil. You need to really get in there.
Hey, well, the Joker killed a guy through his eye socket, you know?
Oh, true.
You want to see a magic trick?
Maybe I should have made this chick was definitely a Joker. Like, the look on her face when she comes into the room under the mind control is just so sinister. She played it really well for a bit part.
Yeah, for like a day player, yeah, good job, you know? So we cut the commercial, we come back. We have, honestly, kind of a nothing scene between Clark, Chloe, and Lex here. Like, nothing comes of the scene. Like, they sit there, they talk about, you know, Dr. Garner. Lex is like, Clark's like, I'm going to go talk to Dr. Garner. And Lex is like, I'm going to go track down Molly. And Chloe's like, oh, I guess I'll just stay here. Like, stay here where it's safe, right?
Someone's trying to kill me, but I'll just stay here by myself.
And then the next time we see her, she's not there, right? She goes to the kids. So that's the thing with this episode. There's so many, like, there was some good action, like, you know, Chloe getting chased by the truck at the beginning. Obviously, the Lana and Chloe fight, right? But there's so many scenes that just are nothing, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was, as I said, like, it was just at the start of the episode. It's not that engaging of an episode. Like, I guess the plot is fine, but by the there's not really too much to get you hooked, I guess.
Right. So Clark, I mean, they go do what they say they're gonna do. Clark goes to Summerholt. Perfect timing. Right as he's walking in the lobby, Dr. Garner's coming out, and they have a good back and forth here. I like what Clark says. He's like, he talks about Molly and how she's mind controlling people. And he's like, it's not the kind of technology you can pick up at Radio Shack. It's like, man, how dated is this episode going to be, right? We got floppy disk and Radio Shack references.
I was going to say, it was probably dated like the next day.
Yeah, Radio Shack was a great store, right? But the internet definitely killed Radio Shack. Because what do you go to Radio Shack for? Like, weird stuff you can't find at like Best Buy, right? Mm. Or Circuit City, right? Let's date ourselves some more. But most Radio Shacks are closed. I believe they went bankrupt file for Chapter 11 or something a year or two ago. And all the ones here in Texas are closed. And I don't know. I mean, around the world, I don't know what the status is. But
yeah, in Australia, we have our version is called Cash Converters, and they're pretty much out of defunct now as well.
Mm, yeah. Thanks, Internet. But anyway, so security escorts Clark out, right? And then he like kind of stops and sees that Garner's getting on his phone. So he turns on his super hearing and listens to Garner talk to Molly. He's like, Molly, we've had another problem. And it's like, okay, clearly that they're, if he's not directing her on what to do, like he's, you know, using her and directing her where to go with his problems. But let's talk about the super hearing here. It was just introduced last week. This is the next episode. I like how like, look, he's got a new power. Let's show it off. Let's use it. So then very next episode, he's putting it to good use and makes sense for him to use it in the situation. But again, the effect is so weird on both fronts. The zoom into the eardrum.
Yeah.
The weird, like, focus on the mouth. Like, what are your thoughts on this super hearing effect, Jazz?
Like, I didn't actually mind when they, like, the focus on the mouth. When they went into his ear, I was just like, this is, like, a bit much. I was just, like, why can't it just be just natural to him? Why does it have to be, like, a focus thing?
Do you get it? He's listening.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree with you. And we talked about this. I talked about this with Dan in last week's episode. I would have just preferred to just be a sense. You know, he's really fast. He's really strong. He hears really well, right? Mm. Why is it a thing?
Although I did, funnily enough, I did pick up you probably haven't read it yet, but the Man of Steel, the new issue of Superman by Brian Michael Bendis just came out.
Oh, how is I have not. How is that?
Oh, it's actually pretty good. But there's actually a really cool scene of him using his super hearing then, and I think they probably could have taken hints at like stuff. Obviously, very retrospective, but I think they did it actually really well in that.
But anyway, you know, super hearing does change in its presentation later on in the show. They end up making just sound waves, which I'm like, thank you. That's what it should be, just sound waves.
Right? Mm.
No need for this. Look what we can do. We can zoom into the human body effect, right?
But yeah, the very CSI technique.
Like, but see, the key there. The key there is, Jazz, right? All they have to do is, okay, camera, zoom in on Tom's ear, cut to stock footage, right?
Yeah.
Of the CGI they've created. That's the beauty of that. So I understand why they did it. But anyway, we cut back to Lana and Adam. And much like the Lana and Clark scenes in last week's episodes, the Lana and Adam scenes serve the same purpose here. It's like, ugh. Like even when the story just starts to pick up a little momentum, we got to cut back to this, right?
Yeah, so, screech to a halt.
He comes in to kind of apologize, but it's kind of like a rough apology. And even Lana's like, this is your way of leaving things on better terms? Because he's like, you know, people don't people don't speak their mind around here. Why you're strong? Why you act like you're weak? And I'm really not sure what his angle here is, because he does come off as kind of a jerk still. Then he tells her how awesome she is and wishes that she and hopes she doesn't shut people out of her life forever. And then he's like gonna go on his bus, but then she's like, "No, wait, are you serious about staying?" And then, you know, that sets us up for our last scene between them. But again, what are your thoughts on these guys? Have you figured out if they're dating or not?
I'm as confused as ever. I'll if anything, I'm more confused. Like this is more like Whiplash than the Clark and Lana relationship. And this is just one episode.
Yeah, so did you notice his cheeks in this scene though? They look so rosy. I'm like, is he wearing makeup or something?
I don't know. This guy must have like an amazing complexion, I guess.
Well, you know, Batman, he's a master of disguise as well. So that
sure.
He did really start to look like Bruce Wayne, though, especially his last couple scenes, right? He's got like the duffel bag, like he can totally see that's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the black coat, the black trench coat. Like, it's totally him, like, traveling the world and stuff. So, this was the most Batman he was. Yes, that's on his next, on his stop. Oh, man. We cut to Molly's apartment, and Lex is there. Apparently, he tracked her down. He makes a joke about having a psychopath complex. She makes a comment about birds of a feather. Clark comes in at this point. They're both like, "What are you doing here?" You know, it's kind of contrived. But they're both at Molly's apartment. Lex has the disc she needs to do what she needs to do. Birds of a feather, right? He figured out where the disc was or whatever. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the most interesting part of the scene is Molly is talking about, she's basically revealing that she was the mastermind. She did this of her own accord. Garner was not controlling her. She would just, you know, Garner and Summerholt was the only thing that made her feel normal. And wouldn't you do anything to feel that way? And that's actually a very effective way to speak to Clark, I thought. What about you?
Yeah, I definitely like the, like, just trying to, like, well, like, the dialogue was supposed to make you think that there was similarity between them, but overall, I just thought that Molly had a really thin backstory. Like, it was just really weird.
Yeah, it was basically just, have anyone seen that, season 3 or season 4 episode of Arrow with Felicity in college? That's basically her backstory, right?
Oh, yeah, the Dark Felicity. Or the Goth Felicity.
What did you think of that, by the way? I'm just curious, what did you think of Dark Felicity?
It was fine, I suppose. It was pretty cliche, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think we needed a Felicity Smoke origin story.
Yeah, she already took over quite a bit of the show. I didn't need like her like more into it as well.
This is why she has that upper earlobe earring. I'm like, okay, I get it. You know. Oh man. Anyway, but yes, Molly here really is the proto Felicity Smoke. But they've saved the day. Basically, Lex has the disc. No more things to be sent out. But they sent one last email. And it was to Martha. Why did you say that name?
Why did you say that name?
So it's like, oh no. And then we left. What did I say? Chloe at the mansion led to nothing, right? Because the next time we see Chloe, she's at the Kent farm and she's like, oh, hi, Miss Kent.
Why did you come here?
Yeah. She's like, yeah. She says something about like something else Clark found out. Obviously what, like Martha got this email, called Chloe, told her to come here. Like, I guess Clark told his parents she was hiding Chloe at the mansion, and Chloe's like, well, the kids are safe, but you know, she just tried to be killed by who was her best friend in the hallway, right? Trust no one.
Exactly.
Right? Trust no one. Just stay where you are. Because it's the last place people would expect to find Chloe at the mansion, so no one could contact. Anyway, if anything, like, goes what, Martha should have come to the mansion? We know the security there is crap. So she probably could have gotten in. But it's very like, well, again, we got my control count, not just plus one, but plus two, because Jonathan gets in on the action.
Yeah, like what happened there? Well, they looked at the email at the exact same time, just like, was John just looking over Martha's shoulder? He's like, what are you reading there?
That's exactly what I thought. They would be the couple that would have like a shared email account, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But only one email account, Martha. Access it. Yeah, it's like, okay, Martha, it's time to check our email. Like,
I can't
run. Down.
The farm is like in bankruptcy. You have like three computers and a laptop. Good use of your expenses there.
So, Clark, obviously, he realizes that Chloe is going to be attacked by his parents, right? Or at least Martha. So, the last place he left Chloe was Luther Mansion, so maybe he should have gone there, right? But yeah. Instead, he somehow knows the super speed. Maybe he's super sped there first, looked around, she wasn't there.
I was going to say, because he wouldn't be able to use the superhero with the super speed, because he'd have to stop and focus first.
Yes, very true. See, it does have its weaknesses, right? So he super speeds. Let's just say that he went to the Luther Mansion. She wasn't there. Then he's like, okay, well, my parents live at the Kent Farm. I guess I'll go there. He stops them at the last minute. But then Jonathan pulls out a piece of kryptonite. He's like, ah, yeah. Like, he looks really excited to beat the crap out of his son.
Yeah, the look on his face was just terrifying. It was just like, yeah, I've got to finally live out my dreams of beating my son.
So, but why would Jonathan have a piece of kryptonite to beat up Clark, right? If his mission was to kill Clark, right? And why would they expect Clark to, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a giant plot hole.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe his dad's just always carrying it around, but I don't think that jacket is lead-lined.
Yes. I would say, if I were Jonathan, I would always carry on a piece of kryptonite too. Because you never know what Clark's going to turn evil or get possessed by somebody.
Oh, yeah, put
what,
on a red kryptonite ring or just like slip into that again.
But it's all it is it's a plot contrivance to make the climax a little more, quote, exciting, right? Because Clark's in danger and Chloe has to pull the hay bale or whatever you call that thing to dump on them. And then the kryptonite, it gets pushed just far enough away where it's safe, right? Because you see the glow go away, you know?
Yep.
So, like, do you think that happened? Do you think, like, in the universe of Smallville, right? Do you think the kryptonite glows and doesn't glow? Or is that just, like, a visual cue for the viewers?
I mean, it has to be a visual cue for the viewers, because just, like, it seems that as soon as it's far enough away from Clark, it just becomes inert.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be a giant tell if it was actually, it's like, hey, whenever Lana's around Clark, her necklace glows or something, right? Mm. So it's one of those things like in like heat vision, like Smallville's kind of made it that way too, like, because you think, oh, look, red beams are coming out of Clark Kent's eyes. I wonder if he's Superman, right?
Yeah, but,
That was a great fix, if you will, for Smallville. Like, I don't, like, he uses heat vision all the time in front of people. That is a visual cue, right, for us to see. And I really like how that's probably my favorite version of heat vision, because it looks like, you know, heat waves. It took me a while to get used to, but I ended up liking it. Unlike the superhearing, where I just never liked it, and they changed it. But I think those are all just visual shorthand for what's going on. But anyway.
Would you also, put a visual cue as, like, you know, when he gets affected by the kryptonite and then his, like, skin turns green? Is that supposed to be a visual cue as well, or is, like,
I think that really happens. I think, like, with the rippling, you know, veins and stuff, I think that's real. I think that's really happening, because it does physically affect him, you know what I mean?
But I guess, like, if you look at him, you just be like, that's weird.
Yeah. You know, Clark, you don't look so good. Maybe that's why they say that. Like, maybe look green all of a sudden.
Yeah, look a little green there, Clark.
Amnesia plus two more, right? So plus five now total, because they're like, oh, what happened? Right. Whoa, what happened? Or typical waking up. Everybody's okay, even though Chloe kicked Martha, like, in the face, right?
So, yeah, and a couple of hay bales, a couple of Flannel and Jonathan. I don't know how heavy those things are, but there was, like, four of them.
Hope that doesn't hurt his heart. But anyway. I don't know. Too soon. Yeah, literally too soon, right? Actually, what is that?
Not now.
It's the next episode, actually, now that I think about it. But,
yeah.
Anyway. We get cut to, well, first of all, we get the first chords for Huba Stanks, The Reason, right? This is a great early 2000s rock, huh?
Yeah, add this to the Spotify playlist of the Smallville soundtrack.
Absolutely, man. But yeah, this was, I would have liked, this song was on the radio all the time, and I would have put it on my mix CDs even if it wasn't for Smallville. But anyway, you guys know it, you love it, but The Reason is You.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that I didn't listen to it all the time back then.
But this is a big deal. Again, lots of big things happened in some. It's a boring episode, but lots of big things happening in it, right? We get our first look at the Talon apartment. What did you think of this apartment? First of all, what did you think of the apartment itself? And what did you think of the fact that Lana is going to let Adam live there?
For the apartment in general, she was downplaying it quite a bit, because she's still like, oh, you got to keep an open mind about it. Like, this is an awesome space. Like, you just got to, like, it's a bit cluttered, but it's pretty awesome. Like, it's bigger than I would assume that it would be. And, I don't know, like, this kind of just, obviously, you'd think that Lana wants to have Adam closer to her, but I'm just like, okay, I still don't really understand what's going on with this relationship. Like, you want to kind of, you're really weirded out by this guy, but you want to have him right where you work as well. But the apartment in general, like, this apartment is pretty amazing.
Well, why doesn't Lana live there is my question, right?
Where is she living now? Is she living in Nell's old house? Like, because Nell's gone.
No, she lives with Chloe and presumably Chloe's dad, but we haven't seen Chloe's dad in quite some time. I'm a little concerned about him.
Yeah, and he's got to get fired from his job soon, so he's not going to have a place to live himself. Maybe he'll live at the Talent as well.
Yeah, maybe Lana should let them live there, you know, because they let her live with them, but no, it's all about Adam.
Yeah, got to get that boy in there.
You're right. This is an awesome space. Like, this is like the epitome of hipster, right? I live upstairs in this coffee shop. There used to be a theater, you know?
And when you look around, like, there's, like, as soon as I saw a stained glass window, I'm looking for the Veritas symbol. I'm just like, what?
Oh, yes. Yes. And then I think every main female cast member ends up living in the Talon at some point, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, Chloe lives there. Lois lives there. I'm sure Lana lives there at some point.
No, Lana lives there, I think, when she moves back from Paris. Mm. Spoilers. I don't know how long that apartment had been up there. I know that Martha and Jonathan had mentioned it in Exile, the possibility of having to move in there because they were getting evicted from their farm they've had in their family for generations, yet somehow it's not paid off and they're always in financial trouble.
Yeah, and maybe shouldn't have bought that laptop, that third laptop.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'll tell you why they're in financial trouble, these damn truck accidents.
Oh yeah, right? That's true. Well, the mechanics are fixing it, so.
I'm sorry, you can't just bang that out. All right, yeah. you need a new engine at that point. Anyway, we cut to the Talon and the torch. See, these names are interchangeable, right? We cut to the torch, and Chloe is setting up new computers, and Clark's like, "Oh, hey, you got the computers back?" She says, "Yep, same computers, new Luther." Lex felt bad about everything. Well, lots of things. This episode, having to fire her dad, etc. Got her to the computers back. So I don't know why the Smallville Torch, which has a staff of maybe two people, needs all these computers.
The research.
Just saying. Just throwing that out there. This is a good scene between Clark and Chloe, I think. They kind of reestablish their friendship. He's like, "Hey, you saw me at my worst and you didn't push me away. You trusted me." And she's like, "Look, I didn't intentionally, you know, look to investigate you. Just things don't add up and you're interesting." And he says, "Look, you know, things about me aren't going to add up. Can you promise to just let it go?" And she says, "Yeah, you'll tell me when you think it's right, you know, because just like Clark and Lois in the future." No, I'm just kidding. It's the bookends, right? It's Chloe is Lois Lane. But this is, what did you think of this reconciliation of them at the end here?
Yeah, I guess like this probably actually saved the episode for me, like, because it finally gave a conclusion to this animosity between Clark and Chloe. Yeah, like, I think this is probably the best part of the episode, just like them finally getting back to as friends and just really ending that kind of not hatred but like animosity, as I said, between them, which is pretty good, and I thought it was well done.
It was a sweet scene, and they always have, you know, Welling and Mac really have good chemistry together, and they always pull off these emotional scenes very well in ways that, I don't know if it's the writing or the acting or what, but in ways that Clark and Lana scenes are just insufferable, honestly. especially at this point in the show, right? Because it's like literally like 75 to 85% of the episodes end with Clark and Lana like in the loft.
Yeah.
And someone's upset at the other one. And it's like, oh my gosh. Anyway.
Or someone's walking away from the other one, just disappointed.
Yeah. Use that super hearing to hear her cry, Clark. But anyway. You say this scene saved the episode for you. Honestly, this next scene saved the episode for me, because we get Lex and Dr. Garner. And again, this is one of those scenes, I talk about it every now and then. I talked about it a couple of episodes ago in Asylum, where I feel like they could have used either the Clark-Chloe scene in the end episode, or they could have used the Lex-Garner scene in the episode. It's like, do you want the WB teen drama ending, or do you want the X-Files ending, right? Mm. Sometimes they choose X-Files. Sometimes they choose WB teen drama, like in Asylum, right? That episode would have been better, ended on a much more powerful note, if it ended with the Lionel scene, I think, right? Where he's like rewinding and watching Lex say, "I know your secret. I know your secret. I know your secret," right? But instead, we got the, you know, welcome back Lana party. Fine. You know, I get it. This episode, much the same way. Like, they could have easily slotted in the Lex and Garner scene in between Lana and Adam and Chloe and Clark, but they didn't. They left it at the end. And this episode is really elevated by this. I think this kind of punched it up a grading level for me to end on this note, because it's Lex and he's talking to Dr. Garner, and obviously they had the history from Ryan, and he mentions that Molly has disappeared, but Lex has put her in the hands of people that can actually help her, not exploit her. And they have a good kind of philosophical back and forth about pushing the boundaries of science, breaking the rules and bending them and all that. And this is a very Luther thing, right? Because he's using he has the disc with Lois's article on it. That presumably has his post note on it. It says Lois Lane, right? But he has that disc. And he's like, hey, Chloe's article is really a page turner. And he's using this as leverage against Dr. Garner. He's like, what do you want, Lex? And he says, you know, I want those 7 weeks back, right? That's how the episode ends, because he had mentioned earlier, you know, he can't remember those 7 weeks. And he mentions his electroshock therapy. And he's, you know, the implications of what Summerhold is doing could help him. So, yes, but he also threatens Garner and says, hey, any more attempts on Chloe Sullivan's life would be ill-advised. So this is when Lex is still, like, he's walking that fine line, right? He's doing the right thing, but he's also looking out for himself. And this is a great, like, Lex Luthor scene here, setting up more plot lines later on in the season.
Yeah, it was definitely a good book. And as you said, it was nice to have that reconciliation between Chloe and Clark. But, yeah, this one really punched it home. Just, like, this is still Lex doing a little bit of plotting and scheming, but it was a really good way to end the episode, I thought, with a little bit more intrigue.
Any more attempts on Chloe Sullivan's life would be ill-advised.
Molly seems to have vanished into thin air. I don't suppose you'd know anything about that.
Molly's in the care of people who should be able to help her, not exploit her.
Lex, you're a smart man. You know that the line has to be bent now and then in order to make progress.
I believe there's a difference between bent and broken.
You've never been so close to making a discovery that you'd be willing to do almost anything to see it through. My work could change the way that the world views intelligence. Thought.
I don't think your research is worth the cost of innocent lives.
And I don't think I have time for a morality lesson. Excuse me.
Chloe's article is a real page-turner. Almost worth killing over. Wouldn't you say, Doctor?
What do you want, Lex?
Your help. A few months ago, I had an unfortunate session of shock therapy that basically erased 7 weeks of my life. I want those 7 weeks back.
Delete got an 8.2 out of 10 on IMDb, and Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage gave it a 3 out of 5. So, Jazz, I ask you, on the letter grade scale, where would you rank Delete?
Well, as I said, I thought the villain of the week was pretty average, but just for those last two scenes of Chloe and Clark and Lex, I'll probably give it a C+.
Okay, C+, good, because I was thinking C+ myself, but that Lex and Garner scene in the end kind of pushed it over for me, because it sets up greater things against Smallville using its own history and then setting up new plot lines with it, using its own mythology, you know, Dr. Garner, Summerhold, that stuff that's, you know, it's Smallville, you know, that's exclusive, to my knowledge, it's exclusive to Smallville. I'm sure someone out there is now going to cite some obscure comic book where it appears.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Summerhold Institute, and then, hey, if there is, let me know. I'd like to know. I'd like that factoid to use in future geeky conversations. But I'm going to go with B-, because, I mean, this episode, it's boring, but it has a lot of really cool moments. I went on my Lois Lane soapbox earlier about Chloe and the Chloe's theory. The Chloe Lana fight is amazing. Like, all joke, like it's amazingly entertaining, like humorous, but it's also really well done.
Yep.
And then, you know, the reconciliation between Clark and Chloe is great. And then we get to see a great Lex Luthor maneuvering at the end, and we get to see a plotline set up down the road for future episodes. Now, let's get to our tally board. Are you guys ready? Is everyone paying attention? Buckle up. So we have an amnesia count, right? That is a plus 5. So we are now at 19 amnesias over the course of this show, which this is our 55th episode of Smallville, and we have had 19 cases of amnesia.
Yeah, this one really inflated the stats.
Yeah, this one inflated a lot of stats, because we'll fast forward on down to mind control count. That's going to be plus 5, because again, everyone who was mind controlled had amnesia. You know, those go together this episode. So that's going to bump us up to 13 so far. 13 mind controls in 55 episodes. Let's rewind a bit and go to Kent truck accidents. That's a plus 1. So we have 9 so far in the show. I hate to break it to my friend Lance Laster, but I don't think we're going to hit the 50 he predicted by the end of the show. But it's still 9 accidents in 2.5 years. I think your license is going to be revoked.
Yeah. And that truck doesn't look any worse for wear.
I know.
It always comes back looking pristine.
Yeah, but they got a heck of a mechanic in Smallville, let me tell you. So so then we have our hospital visits, right? So we are going to go ahead and count Adam leaving the hospital because he's being discharged. You know what that means? That means he was a patient, right? So so that's plus 1, and then Chloe's is obviously plus 1, so that's plus 2 for this episode. So that brings us to 40 hospital visits in 54 episodes. Gotta love it. Yeah, seriously, if you're a mechanic or a doctor in Smallville, you are living large.
Yeah, you're making some big bucks.
And then finally, as mentioned in the companion, Al Goff, I mean, he said it himself, this is a movie plot as an episode. This is the movie telephone. So I guess I'll have to go seek that out. Looked like it was like a French spelling. It was like really artsy. It's like with an F, you know? I don't know how do you spell telephone with a PH or an F down there in Australia, Jazz?
PH.
Okay, thank you. So I will go look up this movie. Maybe I'll find the trailer. I'll post it on the social media. We'll be the judge. But when the creator of the show says it's on a movie, it's a movie plot, you know, it's a movie plot. So that's plus 1. So we have 3.
I definitely got to say, like, I don't think this episode intrigued me enough to go back and watch that movie, though.
I'll watch the trailer, but maybe not the movie. And then the Bechdel test.
Hard
fail. Know, well, I don't know, because Chloe and Lana talk for a sentence before she tries to kill her, and it's not about Clark, so what do you think?
Oh, I was going to say, the other ones I could think of was when Chloe was talking to Sheriff Adams, but they were specifically talking about Clark. And
Clark was in the room, yeah.
Yeah, but then again, you did say, maybe. You might have I guess you give
I'll
it a
leave
pass.
It up to you. All right, we're going to give it a pass, because they didn't talk about some guy, just they tried to kill each other.
Yeah, I don't know if that's better or worse.
It was a physical conversation, you see.
Ah, sure.
Look at that, right? So, yeah,
although,
did
Lana ever even talk in that scene?
Yeah, Chloe's like, oh, Lana, I've been looking over for you. Lana pushes her into the locker, and she says, what are you doing? And she says, killing Chloe Sullivan. So,
okay, yep. Gotta get
that
her
counts
boss,
as
then.
A conversation in my book, right? So that's one. I'm glad Smallville has finally passed the Bechdel test for the first time in a while by having two of the female leads try to kill each other. That is progress. We are living in the 21st century, if I've ever seen it. So there we go, guys. So just to recap, because that's a lot. Amnesia count? It's now at 19. Hospital visits now at 40. Kent truck accidents now at 9. Mind control count now at 13. And movie plot as an episode now at 3. Whew! And Bechdel test pass. So there you go. As you said, it was a full load on the tally board this week. So, well, Jazz, man, it's been fun, man. We talked a little basketball, talked a little Smallville. You know, I think we proportioned it out just enough where everybody, you know, if you like basketball, good. If you like Smallville, great. You know, I don't know what the crossover is with NBA fans and Smallville fans, but it's always fun to get your perspective on the Rockets, you know.
Yeah, I don't know where that Venn diagram where this is where it sits of Smallville and basketball fans.
Well, man, if people want to find you out there on the internet, where can they find you?
Well, my Twitter is Headband Brother. Like, you won't get that unless you're a basketball fan or a Rockets fan. And that's really all. I've been tweeting a little bit, but I don't know. Maybe if we do sign LeBron James, I'll get back on that and promote the Rockets podcast. But we'll see about that.
As for me personally, you can find me at MoronZach on Twitter. That's MoronZach. You can find me on another podcast, Standard Orbit, on the Trek FM network. We talk about all things Captain Kirk and the Enterprise, old and new. You'll find us on Twitter at Trek FM. And you can find Always Hold On to Smallville, this podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville on Twitter with one S. Well, I said, how many times am I going to say Twitter, right? You can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Hold On to Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with one S. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Don't open your emails, guys. If you do, and they're from brainwave at, what is that, instamail.org. So keep an eye out for those, or don't keep an eye out for those, I should say.
put that in the spam folder.
Yeah, mark that as spam, you know. But in the meantime, we'll be back next week for Hereafter. But until then, always hold on to Smallville. I just want you to